Hi, I'm Malcolm Nichols.
And I'm Richard Ayling.
And this is Man Reimagined, a podcast where we, as men, attempt to reimagine ourselves in the 21st century.
How can we respond to the big questions that we're facing, both within ourselves and within society, and make sense of this ever-changing world?
We don't have all the answers, but we do want to create a conversation. So join us moving forward as a man reimagined. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Man Reimagined, where myself, Malcolm Nichols, and my very good friend, Richard Ayling, sit down and have a conversation between ourselves and with many other people and wax lyrical about all things related to men and where we are in society. So before we get on and get cracking today, Rich, how you doing, mate?
I'm pretty good, mate. Thank you. It's a roasting hot day here in Lisbon already, and all windows are closed, but I'll make it work and survive somehow. First world problems, if ever they were.
First world problems. You're going to be a sweaty mess by the end of this podcast, by the sound of things.
But let's not give anyone that image, please.
So once again, we're kicking off with the weather. So we've satisfied that English itch. Rich, we're
so sorry.
So this week, you and I, we're diving into a topic which I'm actually going to be really interested in. I think I'm going to be learning a lot about this as much as our listeners, because it's a topic that's dear to your heart, and it's something called the nice guy syndrome. And I'm really curious to hear a bit about this and learn a bit more about what this is. And do you want to perhaps begin by just explaining what nice guy syndrome is?
Yeah, sure. And I guess I'd preface this by saying that this is something that I'm working with myself as a recovering nice guy. It's something that a lot of men don't actually realize that it's something that they're working with, or that they're dealing with, actually, just like I didn't. It meant nothing to me. It's a term coined, to the best of my knowledge, by a guy called Dr. Robert Glover, who wrote a book called No More Mr. Nice Guy. And that was actually recommended to me by our mutual friend, Drew Lawson, who was on the podcast last season. And it was just incredibly eye-opening for me. And it talks about the nice guy. If I were to sum up the nice guy, he is someone that is overly nice to everyone. He thinks that the only way that he can get his needs met is actually just to kind of by being overly nice, by kind of needing validation from outside of himself all the time and seeking that. And so just saying, yeah, like whatever you want, and not really expressing who he is and what he thinks and feels, and just kind of going with the status quo, thereby being kind of feeling safe with the crowd, whatever it is. But behind the scenes, he's actually got clear deep desires, wants that he's not expressing, because if he does, maybe he's going to get rejected. Maybe he's, you know, just going to somehow not feel part of that crowd. And so it's a not a very healthy behavior that actually I've come to realize through this book and through many circles, and now my work as a coach in this area, like so many men are actually working with.
It's got a word that jumped into my head when you were talking about that was needy. It was almost like the needy guy syndrome as well. Are there elements of that which play quite a big role in why guys might fall into nice guy syndrome?
Definitely. I mean, you know, there's a clear distinction. Again, I work with a lot of clients, and I spell this out early on. There's a distinction between being needy and also having needs and expressing them. Right? It's a quality that I have needs, you have needs, and how we express them is as human beings, not just men, is super important. And it's a way of saying, look, I matter. Yeah. And if we don't express them, then, you know, we've got a problem there. So that is, you know, that can lead into boundary work if we're not sure how to do that. But being needy is this quality of just like, it's this energy of like yuckiness. And it's like, it's not sexy. And so especially to women, nice guys, you know, and this kind of needy quality of like needing validation from them, not actually ever saying what they think and want and just going, well, what do you want? That's not a quality that anyone can really trust after a while. You can't always be someone that's indifferent, right? And like if I were to say like, okay, let's go out for a meal tonight, darling, or some other highly patronizing phrase, they would where do you want to go? And it's like, okay, well, they might ask me, where do you want to go? I was like, I don't know, what do you think? Like, well, I can't feel you. Like, what do you want? Give me an opinion. And at least if I don't want to do that, I can say no. But this constant kind of like fluffy, kind of loose, needy kind of nature of like, it doesn't matter, anything to keep the peace. That's not healthy behavior for men or women. You know, nice woman syndrome totally exists. It's different. And it would be more intelligent for us to speak to a woman about that. But sure, nice guys, we can dive into how they end up in very unhealthy relationships. But, you know, it's not sexy behavior, and there's definitely this neediness quality that runs through it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, so do you want to, you know, in terms of that, that's a great explanation when and thinking about relationships. I mean, what are, you know, we're asked, you know, thinking about what this might look like, just to give us a picture. You know, I mean, if somebody's doing the nice guy thing. And I'm curious about the fact, you know, it's called a syndrome. I mean, so I'm curious about why they call it a syndrome as opposed to something else. I mean, do you have a thought of that, or is this a name that's been picked up? Is there some reason for using syndrome?
I have no idea. I didn't get hooked up on that side of it. It's not a disease, is it? You know, let's
no,
be careful.
No, that's right.
It's definitely, I mean, as my understanding of the word syndrome is that it's something that's repeated and repeatable, and it's something that can be kind of experienced, but also worked through. That's how I would attempt to explain it with no psychological qualifications whatsoever.
that nailed it for me. Yes, so thinking about it from how it shows up in the world, like, so a guy who's got nice gun syndrome, how does it show up in work, for example? How does it show up with their friendships, with their mates? I mean, you've given a description in this neediness that might go in a relationship, but and within family and that kind of thing. Do you want to give us a few examples of this kind of thing in action?
Sure. So, I mean, at work, someone that's nice, that they're not going to have the ability to lead very well. So if they somehow find themselves into a management position through other qualities, you know, they're not going to find it very easy to tell people what to do, to say what they think, because they're going to be too caught up in how they're being perceived in that way. And so there's this quality of leadership, right? Like, the toxic side of male behavior we've often talked about, and you know, there's plenty of men out there that love leading, and that they find validation and sort of power through doing that. Like, that's what we fear doing as nice guys. That's what we fear coming across as. Whereas there's quite a different energy of just being able to say, hey, like, Jeff, I need you to go and do this thing. Full stop. Yeah. Without going, is that okay for you if you do this thing? Let me know what you think. And like, it's not an energy of that we can trust after a while, right? It's like, who is this person? Do they know themselves? And so that's gonna hold you back in expressing who you are and what your real gifts are in the world, right? Like, whether it's whether you aspire to be a manager or not, it's like showing up in a team in any kind. Like, you've got a voice, you've got an opinion, and you're not showing up as you could. Right. And then that kind of holding shit back, that gets to you after a while. Right. That happens. That got to me, definitely. And as what that results in, as we know, in any kind of sense of repressed feelings, is a buildup of something. And that's often going to be shown as resentment. And we're going to project out into the world that, oh, he's a dick, or I don't like the way that she did that, because we're not able to express ourselves. Right. Because we just don't say what we actually think. in friendships as well. It's like, you know, your friendships are not going to be based from a place of authenticity. They're going to be based on other things. And if someone's always late and or they don't treat you very well, and you're not able to sort of express that how that affects you, then, you know, what kind of friendship have you actually got? It's not based on honesty, trust, and anything that's deep and meaningful. And then things become very superficial. And then the kind of activities you get up to, you can all get together and do, but there's a lack of connection really there, because you're not expressing again who you are, what you really think. It's like, hey, like, maybe we can do this thing tonight instead. You know, just the idea of just sort of saying, like, hey, I want this. And being willing and able to receive a no, for example. Family, that's going to be, there's too many other dynamics in there. So we'll park that one for now.
Really? That sounds juicy. But I was just thinking, you know, what's jumping out of me as you're talking is a sense like, so there's boundaries are an issue from what you're saying, but also the sense of clarity of communication, of expressing needs, wants, and desires in a healthy way, right? That's what I'm hearing, as opposed to this kind of wishy-washy, kind of not really expressing one way or the other kind of behavior. Would that be right?
Yeah, I mean, if you're not able to express what you want clearly, I mean, that's just going to impede your abilities in life in so many different areas. And, you know, my experience of being a nice guy with women, because this is a key piece of it, is one to talk about, not just in terms of romantic relationships, but where it kind of comes from is that there's a lack of a masculine role model. Right. And this isn't about just like a father thing. You can grow up, you know, being raised by two men, two women. That's not the point. But if there's no clear sense of masculine leadership and what a healthy masculine leadership, let's underline the word healthy 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Right. Then, and you end up sort of growing up and spending a lot of time with and relating to women a lot more and seeking validation around that. And there's no ability to sort of separate from that, which is a really healthy thing for anyone to be able to do. And this isn't about men and women. Right. This is just about being able to be on your own and be complete and fulfilled and lead yourself. Right. And so if you're always around energy and seeking to be part of all of this whole, and you don't have the ability to step off and just be on your own, and be in integrity on your own and at peace on your own, and you're always leaning in and reaching out for validation, then, you're not going to know yourself. And you're also going to need, and as I very much needed, that kind of feminine energy to feel safe. And so what does that look like in relationship? This is where we men get friend zoned constantly, and this is what happened to me. Right, so I would kind of, instead of just seeing a woman that I thought wow and going, hey, I think you look fantastic, or I'd love to get to know you better, or, you know, whatever line, and just, you know, her just going no thanks and being okay next, or never mind, or and that not being about me, then I would take that as a rejection. And so rather than, and it would really hurt. And so then I'm on my own, I'm not viable. And so then I would kind of worm my way in, you know, I'd kind of not express my true desire and be like, okay, and just get to know them as a friend. And then maybe it can develop from there. And this space of maybe doesn't work, you know, like women. And this is, again, like feedback. I'm not reading this out of a book. This is my experience in over life and from countless women that I've spoken to have said, like, look, be clear in your intentions. Like, that's what we can trust, you know? And we always have a choice to say yes or no, but just worming our way in there, that I would end up being around women that would appreciate everything that I had to give, which was a lot of energy, a lot of time, a lot of depth, a lot of connection. But what I ultimately wanted was intimacy and romance. And that wasn't ever really available. That's not what they were in for. And so, because I never
was clear.
Exactly. And they'll get stuck in these relationships. And then when I finally had the balls and inverted commas to say, I like you. And they'd be like, oh, okay, well, you know, that time has passed, brother. Like, we've developed a friendship, you know, like that. Like, we need polarity to have some kind of energetic, intimate relationship, you know, like one person leads, one person receives, and it's healthy to be able to switch up between those two. But if someone can't trust that I can ever do that, like clarity and leading piece, then they're not going to be attracted to me in that way. And so that's what happened again and again and again. I guarantee it, men listening out there, there's a bunch of you going, oh yeah, that's happened to me a bunch of times. So it's like, I guess I was being a nice guy there, you know? And being a nice guy doesn't mean being a dick as a response. So we can talk about, you know, like the differences in those in a moment. But for me, like, that's a key way of understanding, like, if whether you're a nice guy or not, it's like, how am I relating to women in my life? And is there an imbalance between like desiring and feeling safe around women versus being comfortable around men as well to express who I am and what I want? Because if there's a huge imbalance and you're always drawn to women and you feel safe around them more, chances are you're going to be in that space. And you're not going to be able to say what you want, and you're going to be end up being friend zoned, and your relationships will be, kind of unclear.
Yeah, gold. I mean, and as you're talking, I can reflect, particularly younger. As a younger man, I can absolutely name a whole number of different times I did exactly what you just talked about. I didn't really have the guts to say how I felt, and went and just kind of tried to weasel my way in by being a mate, and then hoping like how somewhere along the line she might recognize how what a good catch I am and fall in love with me without me ever actually saying anything yet. So I can put my hand up and say I've done that before without a doubt. But I guess that a question that's coming up or something that's coming up is that, you know, the opposite to this Mr. Nice Guy is the dude who doesn't even necessarily mean the word misogynist, but it's that, you know, somebody who's a bit the ruthless kind of guy that is out there, you know, kind of I guess with thinking about Me Too and, you know, everything that's gone on over the last few years and the call for change and male behavior, you know, there's a curiosity for me when we talk about Mr. Nice Guy, the nice guy syndrome, and how we balance that off without going the other way and become Mr. Wanker, you know what I mean? So so how do we avoid that? What are the differences between going off and being in, you know, becoming a bit of a twat or a slightly misogynist guy, you know, that this kind of toxic masculinity that has been talked about a lot? What's the middle that we're looking to find here?
Caring, you know, like as a nice guy, I'd be really triggered by men that were, you know, kind of sleazy or arrogant. And it was actually in a workshop I did with you a few years back that we looked into that shadow aspect of myself. What is it that's about sleazy guys that triggers me so much? And so, well, their behavior is disgusting. Yeah, I get that. And that's not okay, right? But what is it they get to do that I don't? They get to approach women, get rejected, and not care about it. Wow, okay, there's value in that, right? There's value in me learning not to care, but every time I get rejected, it's like, okay, it doesn't mean it's not all about me. When men sort of kind of in the opposite spectrum, there's a lack of caring about the woman as well. And that's obviously, that's the problem. That's absolutely not okay. Like healthy communication and healthy, like masculine self-worth, that's what we need to build up as men, especially like we're recovering nice guys, learning also, and again, like I've systematized this, but also learning how to express what you want and need healthily. You know, women, a lot of women know how to do this, not all of them, but you know, they're kind of waiting for a lot of us to catch up and learn how to do this. I would argue, and I'll probably get into trouble for saying that, but that's my belief from my experience. But it's like a woman, as I understand it, you know, like, really wants to feel seen, really wants to be felt, you know, and a man that's like charging through is just trying to, you know, get his own needs met without thinking about her. And that can be a sexual thing most of the time. They're not aware of the capacity of that spectrum of masculine and feminine polarity, where like two people of any gender come together and it's like sparks can fly, but there's like a deep intimacy and there's a care and there's a respect. And whereas the Mr. Wanker, as you named him, will just be like, I got what I needed and I don't really know how to go much further than this, and doesn't call her again and makes her feel used and, you know, just horrible kind of behavior like that. The nice guy is the one that would even get that far because he's like, I don't know how to express what I want. And even if they do make it into bed, then it's like, how do I lead? And you know, what does this even look like? Is it okay for me to ask what I want for what I want in bed? There's a lot of confusion, especially since Me Too, which was a necessary eruption, you know, like absolutely necessary, but it's made nice guys kind of, and a lot of men in general, bury their heads in the sand even more and not want to deal with this for fear of, you know, being canceled, for fear of getting it even more wrong. And so I think all of that is unhealthy behavior. And I think the solution is first coming back into a sense of my own masculine self-worth and knowing what that looks like and feels like for me, you know, like being able to be on my own and feeling good in that, and then entering into a relationship from a much healthier and much more honest and considerate and caring place. How does that sound?
It sounds fucking excellent, to be perfectly honest. Sort of, I'd love to actually know too, any women who are listening to this podcast, you know, how they're responding to what you're saying. So, you know, this is a little request, even though we've only just started the podcast. You know, if anybody is listening, and it'd be great to get some feedback on what you've just shared, because it's beautiful. It's like it's empowering and honoring are the two words that come to mind as you were speaking, really, and they're two beautiful words in my book.
I'll just jump on that quickly, because I'm doing this as a recovering nice guy, and I'm learning by interacting with women a lot, and yet I'm still kind of focused on helping men get that basic first step first. That's super important, you know, which is just coming back into relation with oneself and having a healthier respect and love and care for oneself and sense of worth. Like the work with women, to enter into a relationship with women, like again, like a coach healthy communication, it revolutionized my experience of not only how I talk to women, but just humans in general. And it's something I love to teach, but ultimately that work of how men and women relate, that's also something that, I need support with. We need support with as men as well, because it's an ever-changing terrain, you know, with different rules, like things are kind of changing. Like it would be remiss of me not to mention the confusion that, you know, I have still kind of around, like, well, do I pay for the meal? Should I pay for the meal? Like, isn't this archaic? Well, some women expect it and demand it because then they feel safe because I'm the masculine and I'm leading. But hang on, isn't that like a double standard if they also want equal this? And how do I make sense of out of all this? Like, I could go insane like that. And I think a lot of men do. And yet, ultimately, like, no one knows what the fucking rules are anymore. And the healthiest thing, again, to do is to have healthy communication about these topics. And if the other person can't have that conversation with you, then that's their stuff, right? But if I'm able to say, hey, look, this is where I'm at with this, and this is what I think and feel. How do you feel with this? And yet, ultimately, if that's a conversation we're having at the end of the first date, just we're about, you know, as to who's paying and whatnot, that also takes some of the charge out of it. And we're still living in a society pretty much where the men are more kind of we're carrying this conditioning of having to provide. And so that's still underlying. And this is what women also say to me as well. It's like, I don't want to be paid for the whole time. And yet I kind of feel like it's nice. I feel like they're showing interest in me, you know, and that's what it means. And so, you know, it's not an even playing field. We're still working this out as humans. And I think, again, that's why healthy communication and not taking everything personally, not being nice about it all the time, is actually really helpful. And saying, well, this is where I'm at, you know, because being nice all the time isn't helpful.
Yeah. And of course, as we've talked about, you know, this carries over onto all the other aspects too, right? Work and friendships and everything. And I was just thinking, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm curious to know, like, probably one of the ways when nice guys try to when they realize they need to stand up for themselves, I imagine that that is probably done in quite an awkward and maybe even quite a, it's almost like overcompensating. So you go from being Mr. Nice to kind of Mr. Angry and bullish. Does that happen, or am I just kind of making that up?
In my experience, men are so afraid of getting it wrong that they'll sort of, but they won't be strong enough. Clearly, it can go the other way. And it depends on the human, you know, but like I'd say the word for people navigating saying no or saying what they want and they need initially for the first time is clumsy. It definitely was for me, you know? And so, it's like before we enter into relations, just like start attempting to set boundaries and saying what we want and need. It's like, let's come back into relationship with ourselves. Let's learn how to self-regulate, you know, our nervous system, calm ourselves, like understand these part of ourselves that's quite hurt and afraid. And, you know, work with that initially to just cultivate some self-worth first so that it's not such a terrifying experience. We're not so invested in the outcome, potentially being a no or whatever it is, right from the word go, you know? So if you were to work with me, my approach would be like, hey, let's feel good in ourselves first before we enter into this. But you're right. Like there is always the risk of it being clumsy, but hey, that's growth. You know, it's not going to be a smooth process, but it's your choice as to whether you want to stay being nice your entire life and never getting your needs met and expressing what you want, or potentially being clumsy, but having honest conversations with people, partners, family, whatever, and then slowly gaining this sense of like, here I am. And wow, this only good things come from authenticity. I mean, I think we know that deep down. We just fear like an unlikely outcome based on something that happened to us in the past, because that's what a belief is.
Yeah. Cool. Clear. So I'm kind of curious now, having talked a bit about this, because you alluded to some stuff that you went through in terms of being raised in a quite feminine environment. But I'm curious to know what the understanding is about where this type of behavior comes from. So, you know, in psychology, they often talk about this kind of the first 7 years of life and how that impacts our emotional health and well-being and our behaviors, et cetera. So do you have, is there a uniform or a sense of what creates somebody who is in the space of nice guy syndrome?
I think I alluded to it earlier, but like to answer your question again, I mean, and I'll reference Dr. Robert Glover's work. So this is his work, you know, but as far as I understand, this is where it's at. So he would say, and I'm reading directly, I'm quoting just to be clear, men who are not well connected to their fathers often develop the nice guy syndrome. Sometimes fathers are absent emotionally and physically because they too suffer from the nice guy syndrome. So this is generational. This stops them from being the masculine role models to their son, and without a strong male presence when growing up, they end up in the company of strong female personalities. And without sort of, you know, oversharing too much about my own family, because, you know, I haven't got their permission to do that and it just feels strange. In my dad's side of the family was one way. In my mother's side of the family, there were four daughters. You know, I've shared this on the podcast before. My grandfather really wanted a dad, and he tried a son. Sorry, he tried four times. And you know, the mum was a teacher, like four strong, kind of feminine, very strong women, I would say. And I grew up around that. And it says here, in the company of their mothers, female teachers, and sisters, men get comfortable treating women as their role models. While boys need a female presence in their lives, it is more important to also be surrounded by strong male role models. Without relevant male figures, men spend their formative ages learning how to connect with women. While this is not necessarily bad, it combines with the lack of masculine energy, so that self-leadership I was talking about, decisiveness and clarity, that women know how to do as well, let's be clear, turning men into nice guys. And so the imbalance of masculine and feminine energy that we all need leaves men in a cycle of seeking validation from everywhere instead of self-validating. And this is how the nice guy syndrome is nurtured, end quote.
Mm.
And that's my experience. Yeah. You know, that was totally my experience as well. And, you know, there's no blame, there's no shame. Like, we've talked about men a few times on this podcast, strangely enough, and especially how it's a generational thing. Like, what I haven't learned is something that my dad wasn't taught, and it just kind of goes back. You know, it's just the way it is. And we can talk about that until the cows come home, but it's like, how do we deal with it now instead? And are we willing to make an impact and actually try and shift and change that? Like, I really want to underline, so there's zero misunderstanding. Like, women know how to do a lot of this stuff now, especially like this, this leadership piece, like, because they've looked at the world they were living in and gone, we want more opportunities. We want to wear trousers. We want jobs. We want to, you know, have a bigger say in this. So they've learned how to do all this kind of stuff. I mean, they've got their own issues as well, but nice guys in particular and men, like, I really feel a playing catch up in this area. And this, a lot of men in general have this inability to, relate to emotions and have that strong man syndrome where they don't think like they can actually reach out for help and support. And the nice guy is like kind of suffers from that as well as having no connection, you know, to other men at all and seeking validation purely from women. Whereas other guys with the strongman stuff, they're just kind of more isolated islands. So I'd say nice guys have a slight upper hand actually, is in that we know how to relate to women, and there's depth and a sensitivity there for sure. That actually, once it's kind of turned into something that is coming from the inside out, as I used to say, rather than outside in sort of validation, that can actually be really powerful. But as it is, just to reiterate, you know, we can be inauthentic, dishonest, we can be secretive, we can be holding ourselves back, you know, there can be passive aggressive behavior, there can be a lot of anger issues coming up as a result of being so nice all the time.
Yeah, got it. That was actually that last little piece where you talked about the difference between, you know, the hard man and the nice guy or the soft man, however you want to, would be another name for it too, I guess, is, you know, I love that way of saying, you know, that there, in some ways, there is a foundation there that is a good foundation to build upon, right, is what you're saying. And I would actually concur with that. It's like that the ability to have a little bit of softness and care, which is there, a learned behavior, and build on that is in some ways easier than trying to create a sense of openness and softness or vulnerability in somebody who is the opposite traits of being quite shut off and, as you said, an island. So I think that's actually quite a good point that you've made there. And for anybody who's listening who is going, oh shit, I'm doing this nice guy thing, I think that's a really positive message to hear.
Yeah, I mean, we've all got our work to do, right? Like, I find that it's a real mission to ask a man, you know, what's going on inside of his body in any given moment. But like I say, Mr. Wanker, for example, we completely sort of shut off from that by and large, in my experience, whereas a nice guy will get lost in that. And that's the difference, you know, this getting lost inside the emotional spectrum because it's all swirling around, you know, that there's almost too much sensitivity. And it's like, you need to move out into the world and to kind of get sort of David Data masculine tropes for a moment. Like, the masculine energy is about pushing out into the world and penetrating, right? And again, women know how to do this. Like, it's go and flow, right? Like, masculine is the energy of go and pushing out. And flow is this more that in kind of internal experience and then, you know, letting go. And so nice guys, they don't know how to do the pushing out, the penetrating, the go stuff. You know, it's like this, they have the energy, they have the potential, they want to express, they want to fuck, they want to do all of these things, but like that energy is internal, it's stuck there. And we know what happens when that's a thing. And so like that mission to kind of just start to push out into the world is kind of scary, actually. rather than the guy that's only pushing out. And it's like, okay, you need to just drop back inside. That they're both hard things to do, I would say, but you know, they're both possible with the will.
Yeah, nice. So I'm curious now, Rich, you've given some quite good, like I'm feeling quite clear now and quite like I understand what this nice guy syndrome is, but I'm curious now to know if somebody has got it, what would they do about it? Like, how do you step out of it? And I know we've talked about, you know, boundaries, and you've talked about, you know, saying what needs to be said and what's really there and being honest and authentic, et cetera. But, you know, it's one thing to go, all right, start doing that. But if you are somebody who suffers from this, it's probably your worst fucking nightmare, right? So how do you start to bridge that gap? And I know that you've done a lot of work in this space, and you work with a lot of men in the space. So I'm curious to know from your experience, how do you do it?
Well, I'll talk about my approach as a coach, you know, like in a moment for anyone that's interested. And that's just a clear, shameless self-promotion, because it's the thing that I've been cultivating and working on for years now, and I'm fucking good at it, right? And that's why, like, I feel like I can really offer that to people, and I have been and to great effect. So I'm proud of that. But, you know, before even that, like, if people are just interested in general kind of approaches, you know, there are plenty of books out there to start reading, and so you can start recognizing yourself in this. Like No More Mr. Nice Guy by Dr. Robert Glover. That's a great place to start. The Way of the Superior Man by David Deida is another. Title triggered the hell out of me, but it also really taught me a lot about masculine and feminine polarity. But there's a separate podcast we could do on all of that, and how that could be misunderstood. And, you know, that's a separate issue. But they're two great books to start with. But joining a men's group, you know, finding like healthy male role models. And we've both complained about how we don't see so many of them on the world stage, but they're around and they're running men's groups, you know. Check out the men's group, check out the Human First, because there are different approaches and styles. And again, we've done a couple of podcasts back in the first season about that. But if you're interested, you know, in joining a men's group, that's one of the most powerful experiences, because suddenly you are the right groups are going to be supportive. There's going to be like honesty and non-judgment, and you're going to be able to start to be around other men that are in the same space as you, as well as ones that can ask more of you, you know, and start to bring out that part of you that knows what he wants. So that those are kind of two great areas to get into. The whole letting others do things for you, and telling people that it's okay to do whatever, you know, start learning to say what you want. You know, start reaching out for support, you know, like start to and ask and say, okay, this is what I want. Start to learn to say no, and start to, or stop qualifying yourself. That's also a really, really healthy practice. Stop explaining why you think what you think about anything, you know, like really just, you know, just like start to learn to sit in with silence in between words a little bit more, like coming back into a sense of self, you know. But these are kind of go on.
I was just wondering, can you maybe speak to that just a little bit more, because I think that's a really big piece. And
that last piece
we just talked about, the stop qualifying yourself, like, can you give an example of what that might look like, what when somebody does that?
Well, like, you know, if you're invited out and it's an expectation that you're going to come along, you know, and you can just, you might, to keep the peace, you might go, no, I can't make it tonight. You just want to stay at home. But then you might go, I'm kind of not feeling that great. And yeah, there's a couple of things. It's like, who cares? Like, stop saying why you need to do things. Stop explaining yourself and qualifying yourself. Like, that's outside in. Inside out means like, okay, thanks for the invite, but I'm going to stay at home tonight.
Yeah.
Full stop. Yeah. That's powerful, you know, and it sounds like, it doesn't sound powerful, you know, just off the cuff, but men that and humans in general that aren't able, and they go and this, and you know, they can't make eye contact with people, you know, they're not able to just hold themselves even in a sentence. Like that, you know, that's something that needs to be worked on, and we do that in my work.
And that, so the thought too for me around that is that it, part of developing the skill of authentically saying, expressing to people what your needs and wants are, is it creates it creates bandwidth too, right? Because, you know, even just hearing when somebody just says, you know, thanks for the invite, but no, I'm going to stay at home tonight. You know, that in and of itself, somebody might potentially take that the wrong way, depending on how they feel. But I mean, if you're with a mate and you've or a partner and you've been clear all the way through, which includes saying, sweet, you know, dude, you know, you've been one of my best mates for a long time, and I love and appreciate you, and expressing that in a really authentic way creates bandwidth, right? So it goes, our ability to be in this open, expressive way is important in all aspects, isn't it? It's not just about our boundaries. It's about our appreciation as well, and our gratitude and things like that too, right?
Yeah. And I mean, that's kind of later, I would say, you know, like asking another man to express his love for me, and you can do that because we've been at this for a long time, and you know, right? Like, but yeah, asking,
but even to a partner or a friend, or I mean, sorry, partner or a family member or something too, right? It's still the same.
Yeah, but it's later. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's like, let's okay, like learn to just do the basics, because you're right, on its own, when someone says, hey, do you want to come out tonight? And you're like, no. It's like, moody prick. Okay. But what I mean is, for someone that is so used to saying, I'm not sure, can I come back to you? And what do you think, actually? And maybe we could do this instead. It's like, it's a relief, and it's more important about you in that moment and not about them. And if they take it funny, right, they're going to check in with you on that, hopefully, you know? So this is where it can be clumsy in that sense of, and again, this comes in the training. We practice this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's not just like, no, it's like, okay, thanks for the invite, but I'm going to stay at home tonight. Like, if someone thinks that's rude, you know, that's their stuff. That's what I'm talking about. And it's like learning to get less caught up in that. And as a nice guy, it's like a relief not to have to justify and qualify, because this overthinking process of explaining yourself to everyone so that you feel validated and safe, you know, and justified in what you're doing. It's like, no. Like,
yeah,
do you see the difference? Like, that's really important. And it's not about the other person and how they always interpret stuff. It's about you learning to have agency, sovereignty, two fancy pants words, but basically being able to say, I need to create an island for myself. I need to create or perhaps a garden for myself, you know, and you get to come into my garden before you actually get to come into here. And you know, it's creating some kind of distance and being okay with that. That's actually really powerful and really helpful, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm thinking that there are probably there's definitely some cultural overlay too around some of this stuff, would you say? Some cultures are probably less or more inclined towards this behavior than others.
Can you give me an example?
Well, I'm just thinking in New Zealand, like, you know, in New Zealand, directness is not a great quality. You know, people do tend to circle around the bush a little bit rather than just, you know, the saying no, an unqualified no in a country like New Zealand is, from places where I've lived in, is different than a no that I might get in Australia, for example, right? They're much more direct over there. And there is a sense that, so just a sense that the culture that somebody comes from is probably also going to inform a little bit of this.
Yeah, and, I'm going to jump in and say, like, you have to let go of the outside world and being so preoccupied with how it's going to land and, oh, is this a culturally okay thing? Like, we have to learn as human beings. These are life skills, no? Like, every rule in the men's circle is, like, a healthy life skill. And just like this one is, and it's context specific. So if I give you another one, it's like, hey, look, I'd love to come out for some, do you want to come out for some, well, you're with your partner and she's like, I want to eat Indian tonight. And you're like, I really don't want Indian. Normally you would be like, oh yeah, okay. And you would hold it back instead of saying, I really don't want to eat Indian tonight. Can we do something else, please? Not qualifying, not justifying. That's the energy that I'm talking about. And it's not a cultural thing. It's coming back to the person that doesn't have the ability to do that and just learning to do that without all the fluff around it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So what that implies, where that leads me to is I'm saying that as a culture, there is a nice guy culture that's pervading through New Zealand, as opposed to like, there's a greater sense of it. Because as you're listening, I'm like, fucking hell, like there's so many of New Zealand men who could actually probably fall into this syndrome. You know, and it's almost like it's kind of like we've kind of culturally defined ourselves to be this guy a little bit. And it's just a little moment. And I mean, I may be getting that wrong, but there's a real sense for me that actually we've turned this into a bit of a cultural trait to a degree.
Okay, I hear you. I think it's a Western thing. And I say that as a Western educated, you know, industrial, rich, democratic society person, that weird acronym, right? And I think this can be applied to all of these kind of countries. Like I don't have the wherewithal, the awareness to say that it's a problem in India, for example. I don't know. And I don't want to make that claim either way, right? But for sure, in a lot of Western countries, then this is definitely a thing. There's a big problem in America. You know, I have American clients, but you know, Germans are fairly direct, and that's kind of part of their culture. And a lot of my clients are German as well. You know, so I don't want to get caught up in that. It's like it's a male problem. This flavor, you know, nice guy syndrome is a male problem. Like nice woman syndrome is a female problem. And the more we kind of look out into the world, I'm the more we can kind of lose the focus. So you could be right. Mm. You maybe are right, but I'm interested in the human experience of like, who are you, nice guy? Do you recognize this behavior as a human and the people around you in your community, your environment, no matter where that is, because you can run away from your problems, hence why I ran to Bali. And you still have the same challenges.
Yeah. Yeah, got it.
Being forceful there, mate. Right. But that's kind of that's how strongly I feel about it. So not to reject your claim at all. I'd rather keep it like very much of an individual thing.
Yeah, no, perfect. No, that's great. I mean, it's given me a lot of clarity, even hearing that. And lots of food for thought. all right. I guess where this now leads to, Rich, is you've talked about that you work with people in this, and you know now's the time for you to get into a bit of shameless promotion, because I know that you offer some real gold in this space, and it's through personal experience and through the amount of work that you've done with men. So, I mean, what would you do if somebody who's listening to this wants to come and talk to you about their nice guy habits and they want to do something about it? What do they do? What would they get from you? How does it work?
Thanks for asking. I've put together a specific, like it's going to be between 9 and 12 weeks. I haven't decided whether I'm going to sort of have a break, you know, at the end of each month just to integrate yet. But between 9 and 12 weeks, I'm offering it one-on-one currently, but actually it's going to launch as a group program, which obviously has a different flavor to it at the end of June. So end of June, beginning of July, there's going to be a group program launching for working with kind of nice guy syndrome. I haven't come up with a flashy name for it yet, but basically,
the nice guy.
I'm a soft touch. That's probably not going to be it, but something like that, right? You know, but helping men who want deeper relationships, essentially, like, you know, express their needs and desires confidently, authentically, and stop being the nice guy forever. You know, that's it's once you recognize it in yourself and you learn how you're doing it, it's really something to kind of eradicate. And I'd like to think that the people around me would reflect that back to me. But if you're interested, then I've divided up into kind of a three-step process. The first one will be around that coming back to the self, like cultivating self-worth, like understanding how you're actually meeting your needs currently. And that's going to be pretty unhealthy, and seeing that, getting clear on what you actually really want and learning how to like talk about that and dealing with uncomfortable feelings. Because before we can enter into a relationship with anyone else and start saying no or saying what we want, we have to start to learn with the feelings that come up as well. And yeah, that's a really fun experience, actually. That's something I really love to work with. Pillar two, step two, is then like this sense of cultivating what I call healthy masculinity. And so we're learning to develop more presence in the moment with how we relate to ourselves, with the person opposite, the cultivating more depth, learning how to actually take up space and not do that in this kind of clumsy way that we see other men do and kind of make a pig's ear out of it, but learning how to take up space in a way that actually feels energizing. And then also moving from this kind of approval seeking space into leading. And then once we've done that, then step three is then finally connecting authentically to the people around you and women. Because that means learning how to express your needs and desires with them. It means overcoming blocks to being authentic in the moment, because they'll happen. And it's a whole languaging experience, and also overcoming the setbacks that we do experience and rejection, because this does happen and it can set the nice guy back, but it's something that we just have to learn to work with. So that's kind of the three-step process that I'm really excited taking people through. I say the group program is kind of coming up end of June, but right now there's a few spots that I'm doing this one-on-one with people, so we can go way deeper into it. So if anyone's interested, I'll put a link in the show notes to book a discovery call. It's essentially me and you can talk, find out if we're the right fit for each other, if you're even a nice guy and how I can help you. That's going to be important. I coach in different areas around masculinity, healthy communication anyway. So if this resonates with you and your needs are slightly different, come talk to me.
Thanks, Rich. I noticed as you were sharing that, and I was connecting into some of those things, you know, the just that healthy communication, but I was connecting into the sense of what it would feel like, you know, in my own body, like what if to be purely and 100% clear in my communication, and not just clear to one person, but clear to the world, you know. And I'm even thinking about my business life, for example, right? Like I know that I can actually be wishy-washy personally in the way that I sometimes communicate what I do and how I help people and certain things like that. And I'm noticing as you're talking that the impact of that wishy-washiness in that communication versus the power of actually just being clear and having a sense of my own, you use the word self-worth, which is, again, you know, keep coming back to that, you know, there's something really powerful in that. So it doesn't even need to be limited, does it, to the sense of whether you're relating well to women or not. It's a very powerful process to just step into that healthy masculinity. You know, I just know, I really did. I felt myself in the moment as you were speaking it feel quite a different sense of experience in my body, a much more empowered sense in my body.
Yeah, and dare I say, and I'm, you know, there's trepidation and fear around this, and I'm honoring that part, you know, that's popping up as I say this, because rejection's a key thing for me. And dare I say, like, because this is such a passion of mine, because I'm so clear on like how to move past this, and I've been speaking about this with such purpose and passion and clarity, that there's like a knock-on effect, right? Like you're hearing the wisdom and the value of stuff like this. If this was garbage, you'd be sat there going, hey mate, got it, what fluff, you know. Yeah. But actually it's like, it's not just the conviction, it's like, I hope anyway, it's like you've been in the game way longer than me to know, like, okay, these things actually make sense. And like, yeah, my body's reacting to this. Okay. That's kind of a healthy sign, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So curious to know how everybody who's been listening to this has been feeling as well. So we said it earlier on, and I'll say it again now, you know, if anybody, if you've been inspired, you've had your curiosity piqued, whatever it is, please feel free to reach out to us to communicate, give us some feedback. But also, if you want to speak to Rich more about this, you know, I know that he would be, he wouldn't be more than happy. He would love to have a conversation with you, because as you've just heard right there, the man's got wisdom and the man's got passion. So put those two things together and they're gold. Alchemy is another way of putting it. So Rich, is there anything you want to finish off with before we sign off this podcast?
No, I mean, it'd be remiss of me not to point out, like, just finally, like, the impact of this work is for the rest of your life, you know, like, and it's not just, you know, no longer being friend zoned. It's like how you show up, you know, with the person, like your flatmate, and just not holding back, like something that's been bugging you and building up, and learning how to communicate that healthily and say, hey, look, this is important to me, or I noticed that this is going on and this is where it's at. And just like learning how to lead yourself in healthy dialogue. I mean, that's one of the most important things we can be doing in the world right now. And that impacts how you show up at work, you know, your abilities to like have a more successful career, if that's something that's also important to you, you know, like also how you relate to your family, you know, and because that's the box we didn't open, and I'm not going to, but just to say that that's the ultimate test, you know, as Ram Dass said, if you think you're enlightened, go and live with your family for a week. Like we get put in boxes automatically by each other. And yet, how do you then sort of stand up and say, actually, you know, I don't want to go do this. Like, I'm going to just, you know, not have a drink, or this is important to me tonight. Actually, I'd rather do this. And learning how to express yourself clearly with anybody is a life skill that has a lifelong impact. And so, like, this isn't just like a 9 or 12 week course to help you a little bit with women. This is like, you know, one of the most important things, if you're a nice guy, you can actually learn to do, as it was for me. So looking forward to hearing from anyone. And again, I don't resonate with you personally, then you know, just go check out some of these books, do some reading first. Cause there's wisdom in them too.
Nice. Nice one, mate. Well, look, I want to thank you for sharing that wisdom with us. I've certainly picked up a shit ton from our conversation, as always, Rich. So I think with that, it's time for us to go. So I'm going to say goodbye. And Rich, how would you like to finish this off?
Goodbye.
There, perfect. They're the two words. All right, mate. Hey, thanks so much. And everybody who's listening, we'll catch you again next time on Man Reimagined.
Thank you, brother. Lovely talking to you. Ciao for now.
As always. From this week's podcast, if there's been anything that's inspired you, challenged you, or simply left you wanting more, then please reach out to Richie and Mal via their Facebook page, Man Reimagined. Just like you, we're trying to get a handle on all of these issues and topics. So the more we're able to share and talk about them, I think the better off we're all going to be. Until next time, catch you later.